Well, what a joy it is to be back with you again.
Amen.
This is, I consider this my summer retreat too, you know. And it's so good to see so many new faces here tonight as well. It's great. I love to catch up with you from year to year to see what God's doing in your life and your heart. And now I get to meet new people and find out your story as well. So again, thank you so much for having me come out. It is certainly a privilege. And, you know, it is always interesting when I talk with Pastor D. I said, well, what do you want to do? And, you know, he kind of gives me an idea, and it just so happens, you know, the Lord just sort of has me on this little track. And so I said, I think exactly what I've been studying is what we really should be sharing here. So God is always moving by the Spirit, and no matter where we are and what we're doing, somehow God brings us together, and we're in step with one another. So, praise God. Well, we're going to take a look. I think something that is, our world is changing, and the way we do things is changing all the time. And, you know, I just to give you an idea, some of you don't know a little bit of my story. I grew up in South Louisiana. I grew up in the Presbyterian Church. And, you know, there was, I felt the presence of the Lord there. There was verbiage, you know, Christian jargon, like, come up and make a profession of faith. And I would wonder what that meant.
Amen.
Sounds good, but I have no idea what in the world they're talking about. But, our Sunday school class went to see this, this movie. And back in the 60s, Billy Graham was actually producing films that were very relevant. Matt, you're shaking your head. Very relevant to the young people of that day. So I was there with my Sunday school class, and we were sitting there, and I mean, the whole story just gripped my heart, and I knew God was drawing me to come and get to know Jesus as a personal friend. Now, that I could understand. And so, but I resisted through the whole movie. I mean, not the whole movie, but at the end. I had no idea who was going to come on the screen and ask me to walk down that aisle in a movie theater in front of all my friends and give my heart to Jesus. So rather than obey that night, I sweated it out down to even wet underwear. I mean, I was sweating this out. This was hard. I went home. I found friends. Turned around, came back the next night because I knew what I had to do. I sat through it all over again. It was just ka-tung, ka-tung, you know, waiting to go down the aisle. Went down the aisle, gave my heart to Jesus, and began a journey. They would send me these little Bible lessons in the mail, and I'd answer them and fill it out and send it back, and we kind of had this little thing going. But, you know, you don't see that much happening like that today, do you? You don't see the big evangelistic events, because God is doing something new, and God always seems to tailor things as people change, as times change. And so what I really want to share with you tonight is, and really tonight and tomorrow, I'm going to kind of break this into two different sessions, is that God is really using us in our interactions with others. God's doing a new thing through our conversation. This is really about our conversation. And there was a man, Bill Easom, he said, he's president of the 21st Century Strategies, and he said that Gary Rohrmeyer, who is the author of this book called Spiritual Conversations, he said he's hit the evangelistic nail squarely on the head. Because evangelism is less event. We're not seeing these events, but it's more process. It is less decision-making, and it's more spiritual assessment. It is less monologue, me just doing this. It's more dialogue.
Amen.
It's us talking and sharing and engaging with one another. Now, what I've come to realize, and something that happened today with me, you know, I got on, as I was boarding the airplane at a very early hour. Thank you, Pastor D. When he called me, I said, really? I have to get up that early to get So anyway, I was up early, and I just said, well, Lord, you know, I really like my little airplane naps. Oh, I'm just a good little napper. I don't care. You can stand me on my head, and if I'm sleepy, I'll take a nap. But anyway, I decided this time, I said, okay, God, I'm going to be really good this time, and I'm going to be open, and if you have somebody you want me to talk to, you know, you arrange that. And I always, you know, I'm flying Southwest, so I had gotten the A line. Woohoo! Get my aisle seat. So I was sitting in the aisle, and not in the aisle, people. I was actually in a seat. Okay, but so I'm sitting there, and there was a woman sitting by the window, and so I was just kind of just hanging out, just whatever, you know. And they said the flight is full, so make sure you get your things out of the seats or whatever. So this young girl comes and she says, oh, is that seat taken? I said, absolutely not. Come on in, you know. And I had my book sitting out. It was a book I was reading, and I'll be sharing some of that with you, too, on Sunday. But it's called The Ultimate Treasure Hunt. I mean, this young girl, the minute she sat down, her eyes went right to the book, and she said, so, is that a good book? And I said, well, a matter of fact, it really is. And so so I said, would you like to know a little bit about that? And she said, yes. I said, are you a Christian? And she said, yes. And I said, well, let's talk. So I began to share with her, and this young woman was 22 years old. She's already been divorced. She was in a 3-year marriage. And her life was devastated. She didn't know where she was going spiritually. She felt like she was wandering around. She says, what do you think of horoscopes? And I said, well, I can tell you a little story in the Bible. I said, you know, it's a roundabout way to find out. I said, you know, God made us. So you got the creator and you got the clay. Now I said, if you want to know what you need to do in life, you better ask the one who made you. Because if you go to ask somebody else, you're going around the mulberry bush, but they can't tell you. She said, that's a good way of thinking about it. But you see, I didn't condemn her, and I didn't say it's wrong. I just, if you, you know, God just like, wow, that was pretty good. Thank you, Holy Spirit, you know. Because, you know, when Peter said, don't worry about, you know, Jesus said, don't worry about what you're going to say when you come before people. And Peter said, always have just a reason for the hope within you. So we had the most amazing conversation. I pulled out a piece of paper, and she was like, I said, I bet you're very scared about even thinking about another relationship. She said, I'm terrified. I said, okay, I got 3 things for you to do. I'm going to write them right down here on this piece of paper. You remember we saw Fireproof here?
Yes.
A couple of years ago? I said, I want you to see Fireproof. Second thing I want you to do is read the book, The 5 Love Languages, and you're going to learn how somebody communicates love to you. And the person you date, you're going to ask them to do the same thing. I said, and the third thing you're going to do, see if I remember the third thing I'm doing. So she was going to get a couple of CDs, and if you've never listened to this, can everybody hear me? Are you listening? Okay, the CDs are Listening for Success by Steve Shapiro. I said, boy, where were you 20 years ago? We know how to hear audibly, but we don't know how to listen. Because while you're talking, I'm already working on my answer. While you're talking, I can't wait for you to shut up so I can come back with what I got to say. And how many relationships have gone down the tube because when you get home, I'm so tired, you're so tired, you hear, but nobody listens. Fabulous. Get them and listen to them. But anyway, what I want to say is we had the most amazing conversation. So I was able to give her, I felt like, you know, I was definitely old enough to be her mother and probably even her grandmother. But she said, you know, it's just nice to talk to somebody who doesn't judge you. Amen. And I said, well, look, I said, Jenny, here's my number. I'm in Houston. If you need to meet and have a cup of coffee and just talk, give me a call, you know? So, you know, I want to say the worst thing in life, the worst thing about being lost in life is being lost and nobody's looking for you.
Amen.
Is that the most horrible place to be? Yes. Nobody knows you're lost. You know, if we hadn't had a conversation today, you know, she needs somebody to validate. She's on this crazy journey. And I said, you know what? You can search all the religions of the world, but there's only one who cares about you and loves you enough. And that's God through Jesus Christ. I said, but you can search all you want, but you have to find the one. And that's the one who loves you the most. The most important thing, we can get a lot of information out there. But information doesn't mean a thing if it isn't attached to a real person and a real Christian. What do I mean by real Christian? Somebody who really walks the walk and talks the talk. It's all integrated. It really, you are who they see. You're not just what you say, but you are. You live what you say. All right? So we really want people to grasp the gospel because it's attached to a person. It's attached to a person. Information floating around means nothing to people. Now, we have good news, we have bad news, because the good news is there are Christians all over the planet looking for people who are lost. The bad news is not everybody shares Christ, doesn't know how to. And some people do it so poorly they push you away rather than draw you. Now, if I'd have, you know, decided to be a Bible thumper today, and just, you're divorced? Oh, Lord have mercy. You know, I've been there, done that. You know, it's amazing. She didn't need anybody to tell her. You know, people don't ever need you to tell them what's wrong with them. They need you to tell them what's right with them.
Amen.
Instead of looking for the dirt, let's look for the gold. All right, so we've got to work on, how do we share this good news? I want to take you to Acts chapter 8. Many of you know the story of the Ethiopian eunuch. Philip was an evangelist. And God said, hey, Philip. All right. He said, I'm going to send you down to the desert. Oh, I just love the desert. I'm so glad you told me to go there. It's nice and hot. Okay. So the Lord said in chapter 8 of Acts. He said, now an angel of the Lord spoke to Philip and said, arise and go toward the south along the road which goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is desert. So he arose and went. You know, the thing is, when God tells you to go somewhere, I don't care whether you like it or not, there's something good there. God tells you to go there. And you won't care how hot it is. Or how rainy it is, or how cold it is, whatever the conditions are. So he arose and he went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under Candace, the queen of the Ethiopians, who had charge of all her treasury and had come to Jerusalem to worship, he was returning. And sitting in his chariot, he was reading Isaiah the prophet. Then the Spirit said to Philip, go near and overtake this chariot. So in other words, run past the Ethiopian so he can see you. Ah, look, strange thing that somebody would be out here running in the desert. That'd be my first clue. That is very unusual. But it was a God-arranged thing, so they didn't go there with that. But so he says, go near and overtake the chariot. So Philip ran to him and heard him reading the prophet Isaiah. And he said, do you understand what you're reading? And he said, well, how can I unless someone guides me? And he asked Philip to come up and sit with him. Now, the interesting thing about Philip, you know, God told Philip, I want you to go to the desert because right now this Ethiopian eunuch is in the midst of a very critical place in his life. He is about to have a very defining moment. And you're going to be a part of that. And so Philip approached him because God told him to. He didn't go into this with a memorized script in hand. We've all had those people come to our doors. Always like to interrupt their script. Get them off track. No. But Philip, he started with a question. He said, do you understand what you're reading? And he said, I have no idea. I'm sure that's kind of what he said, probably, in that vernacular. And so Philip gained permission. He gained permission, and the Ethiopian eunuch said, well, come up and explain it to me. So he invited him, and he got permission to come and sit down and to be a part of sharing the scriptures with him. So Philip led by listening, and he was able to assess where the eunuch was on his journey. And there he began to explain the scriptures. And we know the outcome of this story is that Philip was able to explain. The eunuch wanted to believe. And then Philip says, well, what hinders you from being baptized? He said, what hinders me from being baptized? Nothing. Well, probably a little water. But they managed to find the water, and he got baptized. And then, poof, Philip was gone from the scene. His assignment was complete.
Amen.
Now, think about traditionally sharing the gospel versus this kind of an approach. This is kind of exciting. I really like the transporting part myself. But you see, traditionally, what we try to do is we try to share as much as we can, as quickly as we can, get them to the, you know, boom, 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 boom. So, you want to be a Christian? Can I pray with you? You know, because you want to kind of like do the close, you know, make the sale. But that's not really what it's about, is it? It doesn't take into consideration the person is processing things. You don't know what's going through their head. You don't know what's going through their heart. You're not sure where they are. But with this, what we call the Ethiopian eunuch principle, you learn to listen. You learn to be sensitive. You try to meet people where they are and let the Holy Spirit take you through rather than going in with a prepared presentation. Now, let me ask a question. We all have varied experiences here in this room. Would you say that conversion meaning accepting Christ as your Savior, is that a point in time or is it a step-by-step process? Yes to both. Yes to both. Process. Well, you know, I know a lot of people who say, I remember the day, the hour, the place. That's where I got saved. And other people will say, you know, I don't really know when. It just kind of seemed like it evolved. And I think that For all of us, whether we can remember the day, the hour, the time, the place, we were prepared for that day and the hour and the time and the place. There was a process that led us to that moment, wasn't it? So God puts in our lives people. We have conversations. We have experiences. All these things move you and me to a defining moment. And so we have to process all these key truths about, you know, who is Jesus? What is the gospel? What is the Bible? What are my personal needs? Do I need God? Do I need God in my life? There are basically two obstacles that are kind of categorized that people run into when they're on their spiritual journey, and that is the category of misunderstandings. And then we have the category of rejection. And so God is in the works, moving people along through these journeys. But there are times when people get stuck and they don't know how to get over that obstacle to keep moving forward on their journey. So we're going to take a look. I want you to, there's a little diagram. If you can go to this one right here. What this kind of looks like a funnel, okay? And the funnel, if you look inside the funnel, that represents Christian community. People We want people to enter into Christian community where they can interact and talk with and engage with Christians. Do things, work with you, you know, have a cup of coffee with you, go to social engagements with you. So this funnel is where people, through their either their misperceptions or their rejection, they enter into dialogue with Christians. Now, they're not a Christian, but they're mingling with them, and that's good. Now, this circle at the bottom represents the church. Now, how do you become a part of the church? Do you go through a membership class and you sign on the attendance roll and then you're a part of the church? You might be part of an organization, but you don't become a part of the body of Christ, the church, until what? Until you get saved, you have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. All right? So the idea is to have people enter into community, Christian community, so that they will come to a place where they actually embrace Christ and enter into a relationship and become a part of the body of Christ. Now, when you're in the funnel, you're in a temporary place, but when you get into the circle, you're in an eternal place. Because once you meet Jesus, it's a forever and ever love relationship. Amen. All right. And that's exciting. That's a good thing. Now, we know that people at any point in time in that funnel, they can become a Christian at any point in that funnel situation. But we know that whatever misperceptions, whatever rejections that they must overcome, we're going to help them in that process. And I'm going to talk a little bit about that today, tonight, and tomorrow. Now, so we want people to connect in community. And in community, they can hear and consider truths about Christ. They can be given every opportunity to make that journey of connecting. Now, let's take a look at Jesus. And let's look in Matthew chapter 9, verse 37 and 38. What did Jesus, what did he demonstrate to us regarding the harvest? And you know that the harvest field is where people are, isn't it? It's. I like this one little sign that I think I saw it when I was in Long Beach years and years ago, and they said, you are now, when you'd walk out of the church, you're now entering the mission field. So you don't have to go to Africa, okay, to be on the mission field. You walk outside the door. There you are. You're right there. Now, Matthew 9, 37 and 38. Then he said to his disciples, the harvest truly is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest field. Now, Jesus loves the harvest, but he has a real big passion for the harvesters. That's us. Amen. And so think about, when you think about Jesus' life, he sees people on a journey. I mean, Jesus never met a stranger, did he? He never met a stranger. Struck up a conversation, always had something to say. He sees the importance of walking alongside them. He always created space in his life for them. Now, isn't it always when we are the busiest and in such a great rush that somebody suddenly has a need? I don't have time right now. Well, that's always when people show up who have great needs. But Jesus said, I want you to make time in your life, space in your life. He talked to them. He listened to them. He asked questions. He assessed their need. He demonstrated his love and his care. And it's funny that he was never in a hurry, and yet he was never late. I wish I could master that one. I remember when the disciples, they were trying to always figure Jesus out, you know. And they assume when they went to bed tonight that this was where they were headed. And Jesus gets up early and goes for prayer. And so he comes back, and they were wanting to go this way. And Jesus, oh, no, we're not going to do that. We're going this way. And so he was never, ever he never missed an appointment, not a divine appointment. And so he always seemed to be everywhere on time. And he used every resource that God had given him. So really, Jesus is our model harvester, isn't he? So we just need to take a chill pill and get over ourselves most of the time. Now, let's look at how things have shifted with evangelism. And you would be surprised. In the things that I read, we don't really, you know, when we think about, well, we've really got to reach our community. And how are we going to do it? Well, I tell you what, I bet if you sat down, you could give me five people in your life that have no clue who Jesus is. So, see, how hard is that? What do you mean? What do you mean? I mean, really look at the people who are already in your life and do not know Jesus. So how far do we really have to go? Not very far. We just have to get a little more savvy, a little more bold, a little more comfortable. How about those listening skills? You know, one guy, and this is on the Listening for Success tapes. He said, you know what? I'm going to get on the plane today. I flunked this exam today, but I want to pass it, and I will. Maybe I'll pass it going home. And he said, I'm going to get on the plane today, and the person sitting next to me, I'm going to do nothing. I'm not going to say one thing about me unless I'm asked. I'm going to ask questions the whole way. They were flying from the West Coast to the East Coast, so it was a long flight. And so they were engaged and just dialoguing, and, you know, he'd ask one question, and this person would just talk and talk and talk and talk. So when they got to the end of the flight, the person who was asked all the questions got off the plane and said, well, how was your flight? Oh, man, that was the quickest flight I've ever taken. And it was just the most fun I had. I met this amazing person. Well, what was their name? I can't remember. Well, what did they do? I don't know that either. But they were the most amazing person. And yet the other man who was asking all the questions, he got off the plane, he says, I met this guy and he was born here and he's this old and he does this and he has this. Is, I mean, he knew everything about the person. But the person who thought he was fabulous was the one who was, he talked about himself the whole time. So you see, people love for you to listen to them. And when you and I began to really sit down and say, I want to turn off this thing and I want to hear all about you, you would be surprised what's going to open up between the two of you. And so evangelism is relational. It is all about this other person. I have a friend. I've been a friend with this friend for 25 years. And she and her partner, they have two little girls, and they had a breakup about three months ago. And so I just called her. I said, I just want to be your friend. And I'd say, you know, I said, I'm praying for you. And she said, well, you know, I don't have any legal rights to see the girls unless she just lets me. And so I said, well, I'm praying for that. She'd say, good luck. You know, we'd be texting back and forth, good luck. And I said, it's going to happen. You know, we just... And so, finally, I got a text. You won't believe. But I got my girls this afternoon. And she said, I think I'm becoming a Christian. And we just, you know, I said, well, hallelujah. God is good, you know. And you know, it's amazing how you just are there and you just say, you know, I'm praying and I'm standing with you and I'm believing with you. And then, you know, goodness. And she's, who got up this morning, who woke up at 5:30 to take me to the airport? This friend. And she said, and you know what? You can park your van in my garage, and I'm going to take you to the airport. Bring you. I said, covered parking, and I don't even have to pay. I like that arrangement. But God is doing some amazing things. And so, you know, God is drawing people. And, you know, she said, you know, I don't like this organized religion stuff. I said, let's just get this piece going. Let's just get this. I said, if you get this piece going, then God's going to work this one out. So let's just get you and Jesus connected. So, you know, every single conversation you have, every discovery, every little thing you do is monumental. Monumental. The Holy Spirit is working to bring people across your path and mine every single day. Now, God says to us and says, you know, that Peter, in 1 Peter 3, it says, always be prepared. In your hearts, be prepared. And I want to tell you that people can smell a phony a mile away. If you're just this, you know, we have to, like, get rid of our attitudes. I don't care who you know and how well you know him. You're saved by grace. Just like me. And you make boo-boos just like me. And you know, when you point the finger, you got three coming back. So, you know, when we go to meet with people, we meet with them because we've already just asked God to forgive us.
Thank you, Lord.
And that we're walking in a place, a repentant place. We're living our lives full of grace. And so when we approach another person in a spirit of humility, you know, we don't have the corner on the market. And so with Christ on the throne of our hearts, we find that God can turn every controversial piece of information into transformational truth. God can just rearrange everything. You know, I watched the countenance on this young girl's face today totally change. And I just, you know, and she said, you know, gosh, all this you're giving me is going to be so good for my parents because they've been going through such a rough time. You know, I said, well, Jenny, I'll be praying for your family and for you and to know God has something for you. And so, you know, we just kind of built a little friendship. I said, you know, I feel like I made a friend today. And, you know, God is really good to work in and through us. You know that when the Lord is on the throne and we are in a place of yieldedness to him, it makes our lives very attractive. People like, they say, I like what you got. Where'd you get it? How can I get it? I want what you have. And that's what we want to hear people say. You know, everything about the gospel changes our behavior, it changes our motivations, and it makes our message attractive. And so people are first going to be drawn to the messenger before they ever hear the message. Now we're going to move from having a, you know, no one has a memorized script. In fact, I think it's more fun when you have no clue what you're going to say next. Because then the Holy Spirit can just come in and draw. You have no idea what is in here. And in here for the Holy Spirit to pull it out.
Amen.
And God can do that. And you don't know what the next phrase is going to be. But God knows if you're just open. And so, you know, it's very unpredictable. It can be very messy. You don't ever know what you're going to face. But we need to listen more than we speak.
Amen.
I could have worked a little bit more on that today. I was felt like sometimes I was Chatty Cathy and her batteries needed to be taken out. And I would just kind of reel myself in and say, okay, time to ask a question and shut it up. Okay, so I would just, you know, I get kind of excited, so I have to work on that. So, amen. Amen from the peanut crowd. Okay. All right. So, but every time a person has a conversation with you, they're going to ask three questions. They're going to say, why should I trust you? Why should I trust you? Why should I trust what you say? And what makes you credible? Well, you know, that's not for me. The only thing that I'm supposed to do is be okay with God. If I'm in a good place with God, then I let God do the credibility, you know, make God's point, well, God's message will get across when I'm in the right place. So I don't have to worry about that. I don't have to prove anything. This woman today, this young girl, never asked for my credentials. She knew that what I was saying was true because it was the gospel, and it was spoken in love. You know, God will use you beyond your imaginations. Evangelism is not about closing the sale, which is what's called a short-term contract. Evangelism is about entering into relationships long-term. You're in this for the long haul, so don't think you're going to just like, we got you in the kingdom, check you later. You know, sorry, but we are now brother and sister. We are brother and sister. We are in the body of Christ. We are in the family of God together. There is an ongoing relationship with one another. And so that is very important. But I want to tell you this. You have had a successful evangelistic contact if you have helped one person take one itsy-bitsy step. That's every reason for you to go, you did it, you did it. You know, you just anything. I mean, I got off that plane today and I said, well, thank you, Lord. Thank you for opening a door of hope for this young girl. And then I get off of one plane and I get onto another plane and I sit down and not 5 minutes. It wasn't 5 minutes. This woman was pouring her heart out to me. She had a four-year-old in the far seat. She was sitting here, 3.5 months pregnant, left Tampa, Florida to come to Utah to give her baby away. She was coming. They were going to provide an apartment for her when she got 5 months, and she was going to pick out a family and give away her child. And it just broke my heart. You know, and we just sat there and we just talked. And you know, then she said, you know, I'm meeting a friend here and she's already given away two of her children. And it was just, oh my gosh, you know. You have no idea what people are going through when they get on the plane and what you're going to be listening to. It was just amazing. And God is, you know, God is doing an incredible work putting us in connection with people who need salvation. Amen. Now, the reason I believe that evangelism has made this shift, there's several reasons. We live in a world where God is always at work all around us. You know, before we ever arrive on the scene, God's getting everything ready. All right, I'm gonna put that young girl sit right next to her today, and then this one over here and over there. And every time you go, wherever you go, every single day, the Holy Spirit has already gone ahead of you. Ahead of you. God is preparing every encounter, every engagement. You know, you're in the grocery store line. You know, you're filling up your tank. You know, I mean, you wave at people. I mean, you could have a conversation, for heaven's sake. Oh, my goodness. Talk to the person at the gas pump? Well, you know, there's always something to say and something to do. And God will give us the ability, and we're going to talk about that tomorrow, about how do you do a spiritual assessment? How do you determine where someone is on their journey? And you're going to be able to get a better idea. It'll become easier and easier and easier. But we know that God is at work in our world. God is the one who convicts. That means makes people want to do something about their life and their situation. God is drawing people. God is seeking the lost. You know, when people say, well, I found the Lord. Well, I'm going to tell you, he's been looking for you a lot longer than you've been looking for him. And God is calling the people to follow him. God is opening up hearts. He's calling believers into a love relationship with him. And he's sending out the message through us, the messengers. You know, J.J. Packer, in his book, Evangelism and the Sovereignty of God, he says this. He says, it is the sovereign grace of God that creates the possibility, indeed the certainty, that evangelism will be fruitful.
Amen.
So, you know, we don't go out hoping. You know, were you a barn salesperson? Some of you would say, I'd starve. But you know what? You are in your own way, in your own style. You cannot take on somebody else's style. I remember I went to school in New Orleans. And when Mardi Gras came, I got the heck out of town. I went to Bible school in San Antonio. What did we decide to do? Rent a bus and go to New Orleans to witness on the streets of Mardi Gras. So I said, oh God, you have an amazing sense of humor. And so we were all paired up, and I was paired up with this big dude named Hal. He was a wrestler. Okay, Hal, buddy, you and me, it's you and me. And I'd hide behind Hal and repent. Hand out these little tracts, you know. I'm behind Hal. He's protecting me. Come to find out, he was at preaching at my brother's church a couple of weeks ago. I said, you tell my brother, my buddy Hal, hello. I said, I have shared his story, in our story, for a very long time. But you know, that is not my style. That's not how it works for me. But some people do it really well. They have a knack for it. Everywhere they go, they could just... But mine's different, and yours is probably different. But we all have the ability to share the gospel.
Amen.
Secondly, we live in an age where spiritual seeking is rampant in our culture. People are looking for something. There is a hole in all of our hearts that is only filled by God. So people are looking all over the place. I Skype and pray with people over the internet. And I teach a couple of courses through the Acts Institute online. And I met this one of my students was from Victoria, British Columbia. And, you know, you can kind of tell by the way people write, ooh, this is going to be a little challenging. And actually, we kind of had a little run-in there, you know, and I was like, oh, my gosh. You know, you're doing this by, you know, you're in the forum and you're typing and, you know, and sometimes that can be a little strange. Well, God just turned that whole thing completely around. And now we've become prayer buddies. And I've been praying with her. Her partner was actually teaching in Japan. She contracted cancer, had to leave Japan early January. What happened to Japan in January? Big old... She would have been killed in the earthquake. So what does she do? God brings her to the United States, to Canada, so she had radiation. I said, well, there's plenty of it over there. You just stayed right there and had it. But we began to pray, and this woman, speaking of people on spiritual journeys, she had been all over the map. I found out her, she had been a shaman. She had every form of spirituality you could have tested and tried. She had done it all. And she said, and Jesus appeared to me, and that's the only one I wanted.
Amen.
And just solid as a rock, you know. And, I mean, we've had some solid times. And You know, I just, we have to get over ourselves and not like freak out when somebody says, oh, I've got the, you know, I'm in the new age and I've been reading those tarot cards. And, you know, you can get all freaked out about it. Like when she said, what do you think of the horoscope? And I want to go, but I didn't do that. I thought, now what would Jesus do? You know, duh, let's see. Let me have a creative moment here. And God can take us through the most amazing times and turn something completely around where it used to just push my buttons. And I'd just get, oh my gosh, you're even thinking about the horoscope. That's horrible. But God, know that people are going to be all over the map. And just know that they're all over the map because they're looking to find their way on the map. And you know the way. I might have one little clue, then share that little clue with them, you know. And this is a comment. I love this comment because R.C. Sproul in this Table Talk magazine, he said, people don't seek God. They're only seeking the benefits of God. People want love, joy, peace. They want happiness. They don't seek a holy, transcendent, glorious, majestic God who is feared and loved and awed. But you know, once you come to meet him, once you come to know God, then you begin to realize these things. So God is out there bringing them in, getting them ready. Now, we live in an age where self-discovery is very important and can be very empowering. What does this mean? This means that people want to be a part of this process of discovery. They don't want it just handed to them and delivered to them. They want to be a part of discovering for themselves, taking ownership in the process. And think about Zacchaeus. Jesus is coming today. Oh my goodness! I've got to watch him. I've got to check out this parade or entourage. I've got to see him. Well, you know, I'm not exactly tall. So he found a tree, got up in the tree, and so he had a bird's eye view. I mean, it was perfect. He was just zeroing in, trying to check out this guy. And what happens? Hey, Zacchaeus, my man, come on down here. You know, I mean, he called him down. He said, I think I'd like to have lunch with you today. You would? You know, it's amazing. You see, when we don't realize how much God is waiting for us, and as much as we are seeking, God is also there. And boom, suddenly something exciting happens. And Zacchaeus, because he was so overwhelmed at God as interested in him as he was in God, that he said, you know, I'm going to give half of everything I own to the poor, and if I've cheated anybody, I'll pay them back four times the amount. You know, that's pretty exciting. You realize what you just said, Zacchaeus? And now you got to do it. So it's very empowering. It's very exciting when you realize how much God is after you and after the people that are lost and no one knows that someone's really looking for. Now, we live in an age of implementation, not just information. So we've got a lot of information all over the place. But like you and me, you want somebody to help you figure out what it means. I don't know how many of you watch TBN very often, but I love the Praise the Lord show because they've got Cracker Jacks on that show. They got these you know, they've got these real dynamite folks that come out there and they've only got just so many minutes and they're going to pop you with the most exciting thing that's going on in their life. But what I'm hearing coming out of every one of their mouths is that they have been mentored. They have been under and alongside people who are just like they are. And that's how they learned to really be so dynamic and so powerful in the Lord. And so you and I, you know, today, you know, people get coaches, they get mentors, they have personal trainers. I had to, my 12-year-old, he was getting a little chunky there, and I said, I knew he wasn't feeling too good about himself. And so early January, I said, "So, Nate, let me ask you something." He said, "What?" I said, "You want to get buff this year?" I figured that was the lingo. I didn't know. I was trying. And he says, "What do you mean?" And I said, "You know, you want to, like, work out." I said, "What would you think if I found a personal trainer for you? Would you like to work out with one of your friends?" And he looked at me and said, "You'd do that for me?" I said, "Absolutely." Do you know who was in the Super Bowl this year? Pittsburgh Steelers. What did I find? I found a personal trainer who used to play for the Pittsburgh Steelers in Houston. Delightful man. And when Nate came home the first day after he met him, he said, "You know," he says, "that is the nicest man." And he wasn't just nice to me. He was nice to everybody. You know, people need people to figure out what to do with what they're hearing and what they're learning. And that's especially in regard to the gospel. They need somebody to help them figure out, what is all this information? And what in the world do I do with it? And you know what to do with it. You know what to do. Now, we also live in a world where people are craving love and gentle guidance. And I believe, because of the statistics here, at least in the United States, they found out that 9 out of 10 young people in their 20s are willing to have a spiritual conversation. Well, I figured that out today. She was 22. And then when I sat down with I don't know exactly how old the woman was that was 3.5 months pregnant. I think she was a little bit older. A little less open, but yet still, she just spilled her guts to me today. But realize that people are more open to a spiritual conversation than you and I can even begin to imagine. And we are to begin to break through and understand the barriers they face by being their friend. Now, we live in a world where people need relationships that are cultivated and sustained. Oh, gosh, now you're really starting to tax me here, you know. We got to cultivate and sustain relationships. That has that tendency to speak of longevity. And so God is wanting us to consider not only just meeting people, but being able to continue to move through to a new level. So not only are we to meet, but let's work on our relationships that we can have a point of reference, build on it, begin to relate. You know, it's not always about everything has to be spiritual. First, you know, you want to talk to people. Just let them know you care about what they do. How was your day? You know, well, how did that feel when your boss said that to you? You know, how are you doing now? Questions, questions, questions. So continue to cultivate, and let's strengthen and lengthen those relationships. Now, we live in an age where believers are educated well beyond their level of obedience. Hello. Anybody catch that one? Did I run that one through you real quick? People are educated well beyond their level of obedience. We know far more than what we're living by. So, in other words, what we know, we should be living. Amen. And that means if we're not living what we know, then we know too much and we haven't done enough obeying. So we've got to kind of bring that together. So discipleship is not really dispensing knowledge. It's learning to hear and to obey. You listen and you do it. And I knew that she was really the young girl was really clueless about the Bible today when I'd said something about hearing, learning to hear God's voice. And I said, you know, like the story about Samuel. And she kind of gave me that blank stare like, who's he? You know, and so I told her the story of Samuel. And, you know, as a boy, his mother gave him to the Lord because God gave her his son. And so his first, he was sleeping. He was being trained under the priestly Eli. And one night he heard his name called. And so he got up and he went and woke Eli up and said, "Did you call me?" And Eli said, "No, I didn't call you." So he went back to sleep. Went back to sleep, heard his name again. Remember the story? And so he got up, went again, woke up the priest, and Eli said, "I didn't call you, go back to bed." So third time happens, and finally the priest is like getting it. Somebody, God is calling him. So the next time he said, "When you hear your name called, just say, 'Yes, Lord, I'm listening.'" So God called again. And he said, "Yes, Lord, I'm listening." And so God gave him a message to deliver to the priest. It was not a good message. It was a message of correction. He was out of line. Those are not really nice messages. But when Eli, the next morning, said, "Samuel, what did you hear?" And he was like, "Oh, you know, just kind of talk to me a little bit." He said, "No, I think you have a message, and I think you need to tell me. Even if it's not good news, you need to tell me." And of course, and he did. And that was the beginning of hearing and obeying, and hearing and obeying. I've told, and I've just got just a tiny bit left, but I want to tell you a story about my youngest. I told y'all about it. I've been teaching my youngest. He's nine, and his name is Samuel. And so Samuel's been coming to church with me. He's like my little shadow. In January, I sat down with my three kids for New Year's Eve, and I said, "Okay, so how was 2010? What was your best moment? What was your worst moment?" And they shared. One of them had to come and whisper in my ear because I kind of knew what it was. "I just want to tell you. Okay, come." And then I said, "So what do you want? What do you want in this new year?" And so they all kind of shared what they wanted. So I created these little bookmarks of their goals, what they wanted in this year, and then I found scriptures to back it up. And so I said, "This is for your Bible and your Bible and your Bible, and this is what I'm praying every single day." Well, little Samuel, he wanted to... He said, I want to help people. I want to help people. He said, and I want to set goals and I want to accomplish those goals. Wow, pretty good. 8 years old. And so I took him to church with me. And I was asked to go preach at this church in February. And after I preached two Sundays in a row, and after it, we were just visiting. And he said, "I really like that church. Felt the Spirit moving." He said, "And I don't feel it in the other church." And I said, "Well, we have a relationship with the other church." I said, "So let's go back and speak to the pastor, and we'll talk to her, and we'll just kind of tell her that you really feel like the Holy Spirit's moving you over here, and maybe we need to be here for a little while." So everybody was totally cool with that. Totally cool. We just went over and we began to minister over there. And I was preaching and I was praying for people. Next thing you know, I'm seeing Samuel right beside me. His little hands out. He's just like extending his hands, you know, and he's, you know, trying to learn to play the tambourine, and it's not his gift, but you know he's trying. And then we were meeting in a coffee house. We started having these little gatherings, and actually I was doing a lot of this in the coffee house, and I said, "You know," I said, "if we're going to start ministering in the community, we need to learn how to minister to one another. Amen. If we're going to be sensitive to people out there, let's be sensitive to people right here." Amen. So I was teaching them the steps to intercession, how you prepare yourself to actually hear what God is saying. And so I was giving them the steps, and I said, now we're going to wait on the quietness. We're going to listen in the still quietness for the voice of God to speak. And so we waited about, you know, maybe 10 minutes. And then everybody began to share what they heard so we could figure out how to put this all together. And God just began to, people started getting clues, and they didn't know each other had these needs, and we just were like, it was amazing. And then, so Samuel said, you didn't ask me what I heard. I said, "So Sam, what did you hear?" He said, "God called my name." and said, Samuel, I want you to pray for people because they're going to be helped. And so he looked at me and he said, and I had Nate, you know, my 12-year-old there. And so he said, well, I think I should be praying for everybody tonight. Let's get in a circle and I'm going to pray for everybody. I have never heard this child pray like this before. And he began, and I come against the devil in Jesus' name, you know, and I pray your blessings over this one. And Nate over here was squeezing the heck out of my hand like, who is that child? Who is that child? And I'm going, it's the Holy Spirit, you know. And so, you know, so it was extremely powerful. And I know it was for him. And so, as it goes, the pastor of this church, the church ended up closing like about a month or so ago. And so Sam was very distraught. And so we decided, and the pastor had actually moved an hour north. And so we decided that we still wanted to fellowship together. I said, so let's just gather and see what the Lord wants to do. So I'd gotten Sam this Bible, and we met for the first time on Sunday. And so we had our praise, and we had the word. And then we were praying. We were taking everybody's request. And so I had just given Sam this new little Bible. Hadn't explained any of it to him. Just gave it to him, you know. So we were getting, and he said, wait, before we pray, he says, Where's that? He said, I got something. He said, where's that scripture with Noah building the ark? And I said, it's in Genesis chapter 6. He says, what verse? I said, oh, it's right there. It's verse 12. He says, okay, God said something. God said, and he started reading how Noah was supposed to build the ark this high and this wide and this long and all these. He said, just as God was specific to build the ark, it told Noah everything he needed to know, God is going to tell us the specifics how we're to build a church. Amen. And that's all I have to say. He closed his Bible and he sat down. And I said, woo! And then on the way home, he says, I think I want to preach on prayer. And he said, and I've already looked in the back of the Bible, so I found all these passages on prayer. He says, I'm going to find the story that's the right one that I need to use, but I want you to help me. I said, okay, Sam. I said, now I think for a child your age, 5-minute sermon would be good, you know. So he's working on that. You know, I'm telling you, it is amazing what God is doing to prepare and bring people to him. It is absolutely astounding. And so when I think of, you know, discipleship, and I am so encouraged by what he hears he says, and that's what we want to encourage people with. It's not about doing everything right, but when you hear one thing, just do it. And then when you hear another thing, just do it. And there was a pastor, and I'm probably going to share a little bit of this on Sunday, you know. And he said one thing I've learned that God told me. He said, I'm not interested in you being right. I'm interested in you willing to take a risk. It's like, well, thank you. I'm off the hook there. Because I'm not always right. But I certainly, you know, God says just be willing to step out. So, you know, a question I want us to ask as we close tonight is, you know, how do we move from growing in community? In other words, isn't this nice? But what is our mission out there? You know, this is great. We need retreats. We need times to come together and build our relationships with one another for the purpose of out there. So this is really important training ground. How do we move from being the church for each other to being the church for the lost world at our doorstep? Okay? So God wants us, and one of the things we're going to do, and we're going to probably, be doing this tomorrow, but I want you to talk about some of these things tonight as we get into our little groups. What if every leader in the church, every member of the church, every visitor in the church was invited to have a conversation over a cup of coffee, something very casual, so that we could ascertain, we could determine, we could assess, not through any kind of intimidation, but just have a conversation where they can tell us where they are. And not just to know where they are, but where do you want to be? What do you want? If you had a mile marker and there were different places and you could say, well, this is where I am right now. Okay, that's a starting place. But look at the rest of the journey. Where do you want to be? I want to be over here. How do you think you can get there? How do you move from here to here? What do you need? And the fact that somebody cares enough to find out where you are to begin with. Can't take them anywhere if you don't know where they are. You know? So God is calling us to engage, to have conversations. And I've just broken the tip of the iceberg tonight. Tomorrow I'm going to really pick your brains. And I have actually a little thing with a mile marker on it. We're going to each determine where we are and where we want to be. Praise God. Let's pray as we close tonight. God, we just thank you. Thank you that you love us so incredibly much. God, I thank you that you, in fact, know every thought that's going through our head right now. You know how some tonight, even in this room, feel so very lost, that are even living life aimlessly without a purpose, without goals. In fact, you're struggling to find your way. And you're here under the pretense that everything's okay, but it's not. And you want somebody to know where you are, and you want someone to help you move along in your life. But you don't know if anybody cares enough about you to even know where you are or where you want to be and what you even desire. And God, you're doing an amazing work in our hearts and lives, that it's not about caring. We can't all just care desperately for everybody in this room, but we can care at least about one person. And if everybody cares about one, then everybody gets cared for. God, I know you have a plan and you have a purpose, and you're going to help us break down these barriers, break down these walls. And God, we're going to listen and we're going to hear what we each have to say. We're going to hear if somebody's heart is broken and what they need. So God, I just pray, I ask you now, Holy Spirit, that you would break our hearts with the things that break yours. That you would help us love with the love with which you love us. God, there's a way. There's a way where there seems to be no way. There is a way. We sang tonight that we can speak to these mountains and they will fall into the sea. So God, I ask you, Holy Spirit, guide our conversations and our thoughts. Open up our hearts and our minds. Let us think outside the box. And we give you thanks and praise. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
What? I'm sorry.
We're going to have one more song before we